and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Of course it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Look. It is our delightful comedy convection. Kathleen Madigan live in studio.
Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning. I'm here. Too bad that I was hoping this wasn't on television anymore. That bad that I'm rooting against you because my hair looks weird.
Listen.
And then I thought I'll wear a hat, and then I thought, no, then I look like my brother.
It's all about the
look like my brother.
Forget our careers. It's all about the relative weirdness of your hair, Kathleen Madigan.
Exactly. But now, see, I don't care. I show up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did I know you're a little discombobulated because I feel like we're in some sort of parallel universe where you have quit smoking.
What?
Yes. The hammer.
What?
Because I had to have teeth pulled and these bone grafts or who knows what they do. I was so high. I don't know. And they could have billed me for anything and I would have went, all right.
Really?
How would I know?
Did that
there's
happen?
Bone in there.
So I have two spleens now. Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, sweet. I don't have dental insurance either. Even more awesome. Just keep tacking on to that bill. My brother goes, well, whatever you do, don't smoke. And I was like, why? He goes, dry socket. I go, what's that? And he has smoked his life. He goes, oh, man, it's the worst thing ever. It's so bad, I can't even talk about it. And I thought, if my brother can't talk about it, it's got to be horrible. And then they give you a lot of Vicodin and stuff, so I was kind of high anyway.
Right.
And then I thought, wow, nothing scared me before. Cancer, not a problem.
No.
Strokes, whatever, they're rehab. Somebody just catch me in the first few minutes and it'll only be a short rehab stint. And hopefully it won't be my left side or I got to learn to write with my right. I had the whole thing planned out.
For sure.
But dry socket.
Dry socket.
You did pre-planning for your
dry
stroke.
Socket.
Yeah, I already can also kind of write with my right hand. I don't want to brag. I can print.
Dry socket. Now your biggest fear. You don't even know what it is, but you're just like,
I have no idea what it is. I imagined it. There's some sort of blood clot involved. I know that. And then your whole gum collapses, and I guess you spit up blood. And I made that part up. I don't know.
Your jaw falls off.
I know there's a... Exactly.
And you're a zombie.
And then I have to wear, like, a veil from my nose down forever. But then I'm more popular because people go, the lady in the veil. It's my new thing. It's my
your shtick.
Exactly.
Right. You're like the new unknown comic.
The jawless comic with the veil.
Instead of the bag, you have
I don't have to work so hard to be confused with Kathy Griffin as the short redheaded lady.
That totally sounds
Kathy,
like
Kathy, do you still have your jaw? I think so.
I think so. You're the redheaded comedian without the jaw.
Exactly. Big difference. Please book me on Fallon. Because he would do the skit with me.
Only Mitch McConnell can understand you then.
Mitch McConnell, I understand exactly what you're talking about.
You know, so many women have too much stuff shot into their lips.
Right.
Could we just get Mitch out here for a week and help him out? Give him an upper lip so I can... I look at him, I go, it's the lizard people. I can't listen to you, lizard
That's
man.
True. They've done whole face transplants. Can't they do a lip transplant for Mitch
get
McConnell?
A lip. How hard is it?
Somebody like that has too much, like Barbara Hershey.
Do I look like John Travolta or...
A lip donor. You're right.
Right.
Sometimes Lindsay can get a little
Mick Jagger,
out of hand.
Mick Jagger. Somebody.
Yeah, he's got a lot.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He could be a giver.
A lip donor.
We're just like, because normally you go on the roof at the top of every hour up there to smoke, and now we're...
Now
what are you going to say about me? Now I'm going to be here.
Now we can't
awkwardly.
Talk about her.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Awkward at the break. The lady's supposed to leave. It's happening. It's making our morning strange.
You know what? And that's the other weird... aspect of our parallel universe is I've cut down on drinking, so there is something going on. I decided my solution is a little bit of a problem, so, you know. So there's something going on.
What? It's a shift. It's a global warming shift. That's what it is.
Right.
That's
so
not.
I didn't quit. I mean, you know, it's not going to
quit.
It's not going to all programmy.
Have you apologized to everyone for everything you've ever done?
Oh, God. Don't you just love those phone
just
calls?
Just the amends I'd have to make to you two alone. Which takes off, forget it. Remember that thing in 1997?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you ever gotten one of those phone calls or emails?
Yes.
They're
yes.
just really awkward.
I want to apologize for that time when I don't even remember what it was, but it was something bad.
But then you feel bad because you're like, dude, I don't remember either. I don't know who told you to do this, but...
I drink enough that I don't remember what he was talking about. It was at a radio convention. It was like 20 years ago. He's like, no, I really want to say I'm sorry. And I was like, Okay.
For what?
Okay.
What should I be worried about?
Yeah. Okay. No, no, really, it's fine.
You've just made my life a little bit more
uncomfortable. Do I have chlamydia? What? What happened?
What did you give me?
So anyway. I started drinking kudzu tea to help cut down on the booze. It actually.
Although,
does it do? Put you
to
sleep?
Oh, I've heard of that.
No,
yeah.
It supposedly diminishes cravings for alcohol. We'll see.
Yeah.
Wow, there is a lot going
Although
on.
Although just two days ago.
You haven't been here in a while.
Just 2 days ago, he came in and said, I should not drink vodka. It makes me angry.
I broke some furniture. So.
Wow. Vodka makes me angry,
too. You know what? When you drink vodka, furniture has it coming. I'm just saying.
That's part of it. And it would have nothing to do with the internal anger we might be harboring.
No.
It's definitely just
it's furniture.
Yeah, beer doesn't do it. Hello. Wine, nothing.
Nope.
Happy as I can
be. What did you say? Wine makes me maudlin and vodka makes me angry.
What about beer?
Just makes you gassy.
Wow. There's just nothing.
That makes us angry. But stop with the beer.
Oh, there's got to be something. See, as a drinker, I would like to find your Garden of Eden rather than have you drop off the team.
Well, I was telling Jackie at the top of the hour, our friend Elizabeth Fitzgerald just moved into my neighborhood, so like a helper.
Sure.
I'm a helper.
Yeah.
I brought a bottle of champagne to go welcome her into the neighborhood, and it was a home. And then I was going to help her unpack. And guess how much unpacking we got done?
Zippity-doo-dah.
None.
Zippity-doo.
None. A lot of drinking, a little bit of crying, laughing. I was like, all right, well, good night.
This is a great move. I'll come over tomorrow and help you unpack some more.
I wouldn't have been helpful anyway. She'd be like, why did you put my shoes in the freezer? What? This was not helpful.
At least it would have been out. Don't try to make excuses. Get it out of the box.
Exactly. All right, here's something to make both of us feel better. I'm guessing, Jim, this was it's in Ohio. And I think the pressure of the sequestration has finally made John Boehner crack.
Oh,
Eastlake, Ohio. I mean, there's no word if it's him. I'm guessing it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Drunken man cursed at bags of tobacco, then confessed love to a urinal.
Oh.
I think that might have been him, actually.
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
All over your bags of tobacco. Where would I be without you?
It makes about as much sense as what he said to David Gregory this summer. His explanation for the sequester. Eastlake police officers arrested a man who they say was so drunk, he not only was talking to tobacco bags and swearing at them, he confessed his love to a urinal. They were called to get an apparent drunken man under... apparent? Drunken man under control at a tobacco store around 4:45 p.m. Police were told the man was talking to bags of tobacco and swearing. It appeared, according to police, it appeared to the man was trying to have a conversation with a bottle of vodka.
Well,
and with a customer who was standing in line. Jim, did you
sorry, bottle of vodka. I don't speak Russian.
No,
did you speak to your bottle of vodka before it made you angry?
Ничего.
Нет.
You're breaking furniture, and he's falling in love with the urinal. Don't blame it on the vodka.
Just say Nielsen.
There are other issues going on that
There's
we just may not know
issues.
About.
I do feel the same way about vodka, though. It's evil. It is.
That's why Stalin was so angry.
Yeah.
Right.
Three Cosmos? I don't even remember what city I'm in. Yeah. And they made it look so nice on Sex and the City. You're the Kool-Aid. You have no idea what that's going to do to you, lady. You have three of those
really?
At lunch. Yeah, this whole show's going to fall apart. Yeah. They made it look like candy.
And you have a hard enough time remembering what city you're in anyway. How many parties have I invited you to that you've said no, but sent a really funny email in response?
All right, I'm still on the road. It's been 24 years now. I'll try to get to a party.
She's always like, don't take me off the list.
Yeah, no, don't take me off the list. Something could happen.
Right.
I could have more teeth pulled
Sometimes
and have to
you
stay
magically
home.
Appear. You
I do.
Do. Like
I
a little do. Comedy elf.
I do.
Okay,
let
me get
a nice
to the...
house and giant dogs.
Thank you. Let me get to the rest of the story. Okay. Officers say the man's speech was slurred, his thoughts were confused and random, and the conversation that he tried to convey between the bottle of vodka and the customer made no sense and was unintelligible.
That sounds like
and
Boehner.
And yet, still made more sense than Meet the Press. Okay. police say arrested him, placed him in jail in a holding cell to sober up. During that stay, authorities said the man began confessing his love for a urinal.
Mm. And there you go. That's a lot of emotion one evening for that guy. He's going to be really tired the next day. It's a lot going on. That's not just a happy buzz all evening. That's extreme.
all right. Yes. So that's what somebody was saying. We've been talking about, if you saw Meet the Press, the Boehner has like that lizard tongue, that darting lizard tongue, and a lot of you know, and somebody was saying it is a, oh, this is it. Jan from Milwaukee says, Steph, I worked in drug and alcohol field for a long time, so I don't know if anyone told you, but I suspect John Boner's emotionalism, frequent crying, and lip smacking is due to alcoholism. It's a non-voluntary neurological disorder as a result of years of drinking.
Got
really?
Professional cotton mouth.
He does have to do with the sweating.
Perpetual, not professional.
He sweats a lot.
Right, right.
I sweat of orange. I don't know why.
I thought he was...
I don't understand it.
But see, now the Marco Rubio, or what's his name?
No.
Who did the speech? Who am I thinking of?
Marco Rubio.
Big gulp.
Yeah.
Right.
Marco Rubio.
Right, Marco Rubio. Now there's the Marco Rubio rule, so no matter how cotton-mouthy he was not going to drink water. Excuse me, David.
It was...
root rot? What was that?
Dry socket.
Dry socket.
Yeah.
Right, maybe he had dry socket.
No, because you're not supposed to drink water.
I knew a girl like
that
once.
Quickly,
that's a whole different...
I knew that you were going to eventually get to that joke about dry socket.
Oh.
It's bad.
Jim!
What?
What?
Okay.
We used to have a sponsor that cured that.
Anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get to the hate letter before we break, because this is, Exhibit A, Why I Drink.
Okay,
here we go. Jim and Chris, how does, when the subject line is wow, how does that normally end for me?
Not well.
Right?
Not well at all.
It starts with wow, that sounds kind of happy.
Doesn't it? Fun? Wow. It sounds like it
fun.
Could.
Wow.
That would trick me.
Fun. Wow.
Because I'm not that bright. I'm always sort of hopeful that it means wow, you're
great.
Funny, pretty, wow. The show's, yikes, it's great. But it never ends that way. This is from Robert. Okay. Wow! I just caught a few minutes of your show for the first and last time today.
Yeah.
You are an idiot. Some, a lot of caps. Last, capitalized. Idiot, capitalized. You are an idiot, and you prove that every day on your lame show. The only people listening to it are other idiots like you. But you should be proud to be one of the most liberal bitches out there.
Oh.
Keep spreading your liberal lies. You're doing a fine job of that with your head... Is so bad grammar again.
Oh.
They never make it to the end. Oh.
Grammar not
You're
talk good.
You're doing a fine job of that with your head. Is so far up your ass. Ass capitalized.
Uh-huh.
You will never see the truth. God loves us all. David.
Bring it back around at the end.
He ends with a prayer.
Although he doesn't specifically say whether liberal idiots with their head up their ass specifically are included among the people God loves.
You know who is liberal? Jesus.
I think that man tweeted me yesterday regarding you. I blocked him. But yesterday I read, this is what's crazy, because now you can write anything, because you're under the handle of Monkey Brains 1484.
Right.
There's no accountability.
Right.
The FBI had all these fan letters from Whitney Houston crazy people.
Yes.
And they kept track of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now? You call Twitter and go, this person is saying they're coming to my house to kill me. Sorry, man, I don't know. Don't follow them. What?
Now?
I'm not following them. I'm not following them. You're not following me. Like, no one will do anything anymore because it's all anonymous. At least he signed his name. Did he sign a real name?
Yeah, I guess.
Last name?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Uh-huh.
Well, then I got to give him credit as a crazy person. At least he's saying...
No matter how bad they are, I never say the last name, do I, Chris?
No, you
could.
Don't. You could.
I could.
You could give out their email address.
Right. But I don't.
That's nice. That's kind.
Thank you.
I would be saying, here's his name. I Googled his house.
It's part of my new amends program.
Please go over.
Oh, God. are we to expect a phone call?
I don't have enough time to call you.
Calling everyone who mailed you.
I just have to count on your desperation for employment. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with more Kathleen Madigan live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Comedian extraordinaire Kathleen Madigan, live in studio. The things she says during the commercial breaks have really peeked into her psyche. You enjoy Viking violence?
Yeah, Game of Thrones, old school.
Right.
You, all of a sudden you're standing there and there's a spear in your head for no
right.
reason. That's the kind of shows I tape. that, and, well, some reality. I enjoy doomsday preppers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Those people are crazy.
Yeah, but here's what I love. They're all married.
Yeah.
Really? You found somebody to go along with that? How did you throw that out on ChristianMingle.com as a hobby? And somebody else went, me too. I think
me
a dirty
too.
Bomb is going to so hit Houston. I'm at Costco right now stocking up. Oh, my God.
I'm God's crazy
They're
match
married.
For you.
Exactly. They, oh, my God. I can't believe the extremes. And where is the money coming from? I have so many questions.
Only God knows exactly your level of crazy.
Only God knows how much ammunition you should stockpile for the apocalypse.
All right. Let's see here. Diane in Tennessee, you're on with Kathleen. Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to tell you that I've discovered Chateau Chocolat chocolate wine.
Oh,
I put it in a glass and walk around with mommy's chocolate milk all day.
Wow.
And so far it's great. I'm still doing research, but so far everything's groovy.
Chocolate wine?
I think there's...
Oh. All right. Chocolate goes with red wine, but I wouldn't mix them
in it,
together
maybe.
In a blender.
Yeah, you could have a chocolate liqueur. That's fine. But
well, isn't there chocolate vodka?
There is.
I believe there is.
That
could get you mad.
Ooh,
and
how
more
about
energetic.
Coffee vodka.
Yeah, they make that.
There is. And espresso vodka.
Sure.
It's delicious.
And for my birthday, a friend of mine gave me a bottle of birthday cake flavored vodka. It tastes exactly like birthday cake. Seriously.
I love, I only like cheap birthday cake.
It's cheap birthday, like, you know, like the, sheet cake from Ralph's.
I have a birthday cake. And
if you mix it with pineapple juice, it tastes like pineapple upside down cake.
Oh, God.
How does this turn into, like, tavern talk with Kathleen?
I would like to say I didn't start it. I would like to, because usually I do.
You know what? Cheap cake, you're right. It's better than, you know, when you get fancy cake, it's not as good as a cheap cake.
The cheap cake from the grocery store.
It's
right?
always
Absolutely.
The best. That's why I don't like to go to fancy weddings. I like to call ahead and go, can I bring a cheap cake for myself? Or would that be rude? Would you find that insulting if I know you're going to spend $80 billion on your cake for a picture that's going to suck? Right now, there's a grocery store cake for $11.99 that I don't even need to put writing on. I don't need to pay the extra $3 for the writing. I will eat it quietly.
I'm guessing if it's a same-sex wedding, you probably just snap off the appropriate person off the other cake. And just like, here,
move it around.
Take the guy from that one and put it on the chart.
Yeah.
Okay, Linda in Riverside, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Linda.
Well, good morning. How is everybody today?
Good to hear you.
Oh, gosh, I have a funny story about last year. I got my husband tickets for his 60th birthday to see the Sexy Liberal Show in Los Angeles.
Yay!
This ends a little bit sad. You might want to throw in some sad music.
Oh.
Anyway, our three very progressive, sexy sons and their wives were all so jealous. Mom and Dad were going to get to go see Stephanie Miller. The big day came, had the tickets taped to the refrigerator, so excited they were hanging there for like 4 months. Anyway, the big day came. We left extra early because we're about an hour and a half from L.A.
Right.
And I I didn't eat. And then we got there so early that there was this cute little bar right next to the Pentagius Theater.
Why do I feel like I need to take the cartoon music off? All right, go ahead.
The frolic
room.
Oh,
my God. Yes. Oh, my God. The bartender there was very friendly. Anyway, I usually only drink a little bit of beer.
Right.
So we went in there, and I thought, well, I don't want to pee all night, so I'm going to have a cocktail. So we had, my husband just drank beer. I had a Long Island iced tea.
Uh-oh.
Then some other very, very friendly people that were coming to your show as well came in, and they all decided to buy everybody drinks.
Oh, dear.
Well, I know. We had such great seats, too. Damn. We got into the show, and I sat there probably about 10 minutes, I made it, before the room started spinning. Oh, my God, I think I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. I have 6. When he walks me to the bathroom, I went in there. Finally, after about a half hour, he had to send some very nice, cute little gal that works there to get my head out of the toilet.
I apologize, it was just terrible.
Anyway, my husband like held me up and walked me to the car. I cried so hard. I can't believe I did this. Oh my God. And all the way home, I was throwing up. I had a
horrible. All right, hang on. I think the moral is she stopped drinking and we'll get her tickets to the next one. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Ruth Pundit on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Armed with nothing more than a great set of incisors, Mother Beaver gets to lumberjacking. Those teeth of hers never stop growing. If she didn't wear them down every day, they'd soon outgrow her head.
Oh, boy.
That's the explanation as I've heard of for my lifestyle. 34 minutes after the hour. On 800-712, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right.
It's Lee Papa, the root pundit. Pundit.
We're still getting him. Oh, there he is. Okay.
Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm awake.
You know, with you and Kathleen Madigan here at the same time, I'm afraid of some cosmic rude comedy explosion. But let's continue.
I do have to say, I saw her at Bonnaroo 2 years ago. Or I guess I could say, hi, Kathleen, I saw you at Bonnaroo 2 years ago. And you did great with sweaty hippies in a tent.
Thank you. I was very concerned about the situation. Yeah, I was like, wow, they're not here for comedy. They're here for air conditioning, which it was fake air conditioning. It was just air being blown around a tent.
Yeah. It was just hippie sweat. So.
Well, thank you.
I love the smell of hippie sweat in the morning. Now, rudeness. A lot of people have written great stuff about the sequester. At Time Magazine, the sequester is a Republican inflicted wound, but no one writes better. And more rudely than you, in my personal opinion.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Because you put it in a historical context, as you do, as a hippie liberal professor.
That's right.
Yeah. You say there was another part of you that thinks it won't nearly be as bad as the Chicken Littles on all sides, defense and non-defense, believe it will be. And there's a third part that thinks, are you serious? Are we really doing this catastrophe dance again? Oh, me with a rake.
Which would be uncomfortable.
But yes.
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 One wonders what your weekends are like. However, and your yard work.
All kinds of gardening implements in use.
Right. You say, allow for a moment of dime store psychological and historical synthesis here. Republicans crave crisis. It is their water. It's their air, their food. And, I see exactly what you mean when you put it in historical context like that.
Yeah, there's just crisis after crisis that they keep coming up with because crisis is essentially what they base their brand on. You need us because there is this crisis that needs to be gotten through, and we're the only ones that can do it.
Right, even though we caused it.
Because the others don't even see it as a crisis.
Right, even though we caused it, right. You say Republicans need crisis. Damn it, threats domestic and foreign, because without crisis that required immediate action, people would realize, oh, hey, how's about we spend some money on education or roads or some we need? And that would be the end of the GOP. So we got Grenada, Central America, Persian Gulf War, et cetera, right?
Right. So every time there's some distraction that is, again, manufactured. And these manufactured crises just simply, first of all, they enrich a lot of the donors of the GOP and the Democrats, but, you know, certainly what we see as sort of the base donors of the GOP. And it also keeps, it plays to sort of the basest instincts of the electorate. And therefore we get people voting for the House of Representatives we have now.
Well, you take us back to the Bush years. You say, does it even need to be said that the Bush years post 9/11 were one prolonged crisis? The terrorism was manna from heaven for Republicans, that war was the coolest thing the GOP could ask for. Now, under Obama, with terrorism pretty much under control, the GOP needed to have another crisis in order to extend its brand of politics. So we have debt, and with it, the debt ceiling, budget cuts, intransigence on tax hikes, and more. Nearly every crisis in this country is faced in the last generation has been manufactured by the Republican Party as a means of promoting its brand of conservatism, whatever that meant at the time, anti-communist, family values, fiscal, whatever, and the current sequester and upcoming debt ceiling fight are part and parcel of that. And it's just going to keep happening.
Well, yeah, and you know, you think about how ludicrous it is that we used to not have the debt ceiling fight like this. It used to not be being brought to the, well, not just being brought to the brink, but actually, you know, getting to the point where our credit rating is lowered and the world feels threatened by our inability to get our finances in order, not in an order that says we're paying down the debt or anything like that, but just simply to say that there's not going to be interruptions, there's not going to be constant crisis. So, now the nation is told we need to panic over this when it's just simply not true.
I'm looking in an article right now. It says that Paul Krugman is right. We're having the wrong conversation. As long as Republicans keep the focus on austerity, they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, you point out the same thing I've been screaming about. You know, the chyron on Meet the Press is, are both sides equally to blame for the sequestration? And you say the worst punditry going on right now ascribes blame to both parties. That is a lie. That is believing the GOP's version of the crisis. If someone sets a fire, and are you going to complain the firefighters are yelling too loudly while trying to put it out? The country needs to chill the out. Republicans won't allow that. I mean, that is perfect.
But as far as crises go, I don't think this is one of their better ones because no one understands it. I don't know when, like, right. I don't feel like there's as much panic.
Right.
When you say the debt's $3,850, it's time to freak out. Why?
It's not tangible.
One time to freak out at $2
trillion. Right, but that's the thing it's pointed out in Time Magazine and elsewhere. The people don't realize the deficit's gone down under Obama.
Right.
It's like,
and,
what?
And the spending as a percentage of GDP, blah blah blah, has gone down.
Yep.
And you know, to Kathleen's point, that isn't it better to have a crisis that people don't understand, and that you can sit, but that you can tell people with a short like, you know, debt bad, you know, Saddam Hussein bad.
Right.
So certainly the complexities behind all of that are things that either people willfully ignore, or that it's so complicated that they simply want to shut down and say, okay, you're right, we need to fight.
Or they get angry and turn it completely off.
Right.
Seriously,
which benefits those who are manufacturing the crisis.
Right.
One of the late night shows, I forget which one, was asking people, did you hear that North Korea is developing a sequestration? Or a sequester or something like that, and people were, oh wow, that sounds ominous. They don't know what it is.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds bad.
They clearly didn't go to a Catholic school. I learned what that was in second grade. Kathleen, you will be sequestered into the corner.
I thought maybe they were just sequestering body parts there.
You give a nod, of course, to Antonin Scalia's, Judge Scalia's horrific thoughts on the Voting Rights Act. But I just love, because you say, Justin Antonin, sorry, Clarice Thomas can't talk right now because he's my meaty sausage Scalia.
What?
Well, we got to figure there's some reason why Thomas never talks.
He's drinking a Coke.
Wonder what he'll have to say about Prop 8 and marriage equality. I don't know. I mean, it was pretty unbelievable, wasn't it? The voting rights. What did he say exactly? It's an affirmative action something.
It's a racial entitlement.
Racial entitlement. Pardon me.
Yeah. Racial entitlement. That voting is a racial entitlement. That protecting your right to vote is.
Corporations are people and money is speech.
Right. So. You know, sometimes with Scalia, I did love Rachel Maddow, you know, saying that he's just a troll. He's just trying to get a reaction from people, which is really, you know, if you think about it, if you're a judge and you've seen so many cases and you're just so bored with everything and everybody, that at some point you just want to screw with people.
Yeah.
It's like a junkie. It's like a junkie,
what?
You know.
Kathleen will understand what I mean. He's like, he's the shock comic of the Supreme Court.
He's taking on that role.
Hickory,
he likes
dickory
it.
Duck.
Kathleen and I have sat in the back of a comedy club. Wait, that's not funny or clever. That's just rude.
No, but they just got booked back and we didn't.
That's just dirty.
How many years does this work in a row? That's my question. A lot. A lot is the answer.
Oh!
A lot. Yeah, he's working again, selling out.
Yeah, he is. I don't understand.
We sit here and laugh, and I'm going back to Michigan. Meanwhile, bitter for one. I love Michigan.
A series of racist and sexist jokes that pretty much comprises Antonin Scalia's worldview.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I must say, of all of my your posts this week, Mitt Romney is a blithering one of my personal favorites, because there he was again, right? You say smiling, laughing, that uncomfortable horrid Anne attached to his hip. There he was, mocking you, reminding you of the inane mistake of nominating him to be your standard bearer. So he was on, Fox News.
Fox News Sunday.
Is right. Yeah. Right.
Right. Yes. Fox News Sunday. Wow. Well, what a scintillating interview that was. What a game changer. I love the idea that he keeps you want to talk about somebody that hasn't left campaign mode. There's not a single friggin' thing he said that wasn't exactly what he was saying during the campaign, which I guess
exactly the reason he lost. Right?
Exactly.
Well. you know.
You can give him props for consistency, but certainly you can't give him props for growth.
Right.
So
yeah, he was like, it was, he just sort of doubled down on the 47%. Well, you know, poor people like healthcare.
He doubled
stuff.
Down on everything.
Yeah.
He went through the whole list, and then she blamed the media again.
Right.
And it's like, well, did George Bush, W won? So do you blame the media? What happens when a Republican wins then? How do you still say it's the media?
Yeah.
Yeah, not gracious losers.
You know, we're not supposed to, you know, talk about the wives and the families and all of that. But when you see Michelle Obama out there and she's just having so much fun and she's delightful and smart and, you know, doing things for childhood nutrition issues, and then you see Ann Romney and you think,
stop it.
What
you think
hell?
Stop it.
Well, yeah, you think she makes Barbara Bush look warm.
Stop it.
She's claiming that we haven't seen the real Mitt Romney. Yeah, we did.
No, we got it.
On that cell cam video.
Yeah.
That's the real guy.
Well, and if you don't want to be talked about, quit doing interviews.
Yeah, right,
Beth
exactly.
Truman?
Yeah.
We heard nothing. Where's Beth Truman? Not a word out of that lady. That's why there was no chatter.
I wanted to hear more from her.
But
all
you
right.
can't
yeah,
go
well,
on these
like
shows
that.
And then say, it's not fair to talk about the wives. Well, yeah, then be quiet.
Not like that showy whore, Eleanor Roosevelt.
Right, exactly.
On that note, I think that we have reached maximum rudeness. Love you, Rude Pundit.
Bye.
All right, see you next.
Showy whore, Eleanor
showy
Roosevelt.
Showy whore.
By the way, the article I was reading is on Crooks and Liars. When do we stop playing on the Republican side of the field?
Thank you. And we will cover the sequester is a Republican-inflicted wound from Time Magazine as well. 45 minutes after the hour, Kathleen Madigan live in studio.
Yeah.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
The only place in America where dissent is still allowed. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
Okay.
All right.
If you feel like you need to. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Nothing works faster and lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. We love it.
Love it.
Love it. Kathleen Madigan live in studio with us. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. All right, we've been talking sequester. The president, by the way...
My agenda, obviously, is broader than just the sequester, because I laid out both in the inauguration and during the State of the Union a very robust agenda to make sure that we're doing everything we can to grow this economy and to help families thrive and expand their opportunities.
But instead, we're having the sequester.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. He ran on the same issues, won on them, talked about them in the inauguration, State of the Union, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Sequester, as Kathleen Madigan said, not something bad that happens to you in Catholic school. Something caused by Republicans in Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was saying, there's a great piece. Rude obviously did a really good Rude one, but Time Magazine, the sequester is a Republican-inflected wound. That's what we were saying. The mainstream media drives me insane because, as Jim said... Mm-hmm. They're just like, they're following the Republican talking point. Like, we have no memory of how we got here.
Yeah.
Well, I think they all, I watched Meet the Press and all that stuff, but I think they overestimate how much the average American is invested and or understands any of this.
Right.
So when Time Magazine puts that out, that's not going to sell that magazine. Because people are like, I don't care, they're all fighting. That's what normal people think.
That was actually buried in the bottom of their website. Right. I had to find it. So
I mean, because usually they just put angels and then a question mark. And everybody goes, oh my God, did they find a real angel? I gotta buy this magazine. It's ridiculous. But it's because they make it so complicated.
Not played by Ben Affleck or Matt Damon, a real angel?
And then Meet the Press and all these people, to me, keep buying into it by speaking of it as if it's real, if it's not manufactured, and we just keep going on and on and on. And then all people know is, what do you mean there's going to be a longer line at the airport? This is crap! Hire more people! That's what the normal person sees at the end of the day.
I'm being inconvenienced! What's going on?
As a public service, I'm going to read the key fun facts for you from the Time. I, because it's making me crazy, the mainstream media. The sequester is here with an additional $85 billion worth of haphazard and economically destructive spending cuts, a Washington wound almost universally described as self-inflicted. Let's be clearer. It's Republican-inflicted. Uh-huh. It is the direct result of the insistence by GOP leaders in the summer of 2011 that they would not raise the federal debt ceiling unless President Obama agreed to dramatic spending cuts. We keep saying this was, however you want to say, hostage crisis, whatever mm-hmm. it is. It's simply a fact that every budget crisis of the last 2 years, the downgrade of the U.S. credit rating, the failure of the super committee, the fiscal cliff, now this stems from Republican debt limit brinkmanship.
Uh-huh.
This is what makes all the beltway back and forth about who came up with the sequester, who moved the goalposts, what Gene Sperling said to Bob Woodward so annoying. The origin of this mess is absolutely clear. It was created by the Budget Control Act of 2011, a ransom Republican leaders received for agreeing to let the U.S. government pay its bills.
And
this is
Obama needs to point all this stuff out. I mean,
well, I mean, somebody made. Someone made the analogy that it's like someone held a gun to his head and give me your watch, and so he gives me their watch, and they go, "Well, it was the president's idea to give us his watch."
His watch, right? I heard
right.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I think he's tried to explain it, but again, I don't think like okay, let's attack Saddam Hussein. That's so simple, people get it.
Right.
Bad man
bad
over there,
bomb.
Kill bad,
bad
man.
Bad bomb, kill.
Right. But this, because every talking point. I feel like when you're listening to a sociopath go into details, they confuse
yeah.
you with details
because right.
they just keep going, well, you did ask me that, but you didn't ask me that.
It's
I mean,
chat.
It depended on what time you asked me that. What was your question? I don't know what my question was. I'm sorry I spoke to you.
I confused you now, haven't I?
Exactly.
Yes, I have.
And I think that's what they're doing on every one of these talk mm-hmm. shows. And I cannot believe that Tom Brokaw and people that I used to really focus on
yeah.
will sit around and keep talking about this
yeah.
and not say.
Jim, what has happened to Tom Brokaw? I'm like, what?
Perhaps his inability to pronounce the letter L has had an effect on his cerebral cortex.
Has azoled his brain. Okay, there's some more fun facts.
Oh, well,
yes,
then, okay.
Thank you. Traditionally, the debt ceiling has been a symbolic cap, an opportunity for members of Congress and the minority party, including Senator Barack Obama back in 2006, to grandstand about the fiscal irresponsibility of the majority party before the limit was increased. In Obama's semi-defense, the irresponsibility of tax-cunning, big-spunning Republicans in the Bush era was truly breathtaking.
Yeah.
So when they try to say, oh, this is hypocrisy, because he talked about this,
yeah.
well, first of all, he didn't vote to not raise the debt ceiling. He made a point about, you know, what Bush was legitimately doing to the deficit, right? All right, more. So Republicans say the debt has become so outrageous that drastic measures are necessary to prevent us becoming Greece.
No.
I just point out that the markets didn't agree. Interest rates on Treasury bonds were historically low and getting lower, a measure of financial faith in U.S. credit. I'd also point out the kind of austerity the Republicans were trying to impose on the U.S.
is what caused the Greek crisis.
Right, to double-dip recessions in Great Britain and Spain. Recessions make the fiscal problems worse because they increase spending on social services while decreasing tax revenues from workers without jobs and companies without profits. It's also worth noting the deficit exploded under Bush and declined under
uh-huh.
Obama. Federal spending has actually increased at the lowest rate since the Eisenhower years, which I think Rude was just mentioning.
And the same thing happened in 1937. The deficit
right.
hawks convinced
right.
Roosevelt to put the brakes on the
that
New Deal.
That showy
right.
poor
and
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Right,
right.
exactly.
And
all
it shut everything down. And fortunately, he had the wherewithal to pull the plug and
right.
turn the ship around.
Right. By the way, just in case Newsbusters just tuned in now, it was actually Rude Pundit that called Eleanor Roosevelt a showy whore.
As a joke.
Yes. Yes.
As a
because
thanks.
She's
thanks.
She was the last thing from
right.
a showy
see,
whore.
See, that was a little
media
bit of
media princess.
Yes. Right.
Exactly.
Keep going.
Okay. Obama wanted a clean increase of the debt limit. The GOP wouldn't give it to him. That's why Standard & Poor downgraded the U.S. credit rating. They had turned the Republicans had turned the debt ceiling into the fiscal equivalent of a bill requiring us to start a nuclear war in a couple of years unless Washington could agree an alternative foreign policy. Anyway, that's where we are. They sum up. That's where we are, paying the ransom the Republicans demanded in the summer of 2011. Incredibly, Republicans who overwhelmingly voted for the sequester are now calling it the Obama-quester, like kidnappers claiming that ransom was the victim's idea because he came up with the method of payment. If they really hate the sequester as much as they claim, they could always just cancel it, but of course they don't want to do that. Even if Obama manages to work out some kind of deal with Republican leaders to undo the sequester, this entire cycle of budgetary insanity could begin again in May!
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's and I thought as good a summation as I've read in Time magazine, but you're right. No one will read that.
They won't even. If you tell an average person walking down the street, our credit rating got lowered, they're like, what?
Wait.
I didn't know we had one. Yeah, we do. Yeah. No one will know until something happens.
But
that's
the whole premise of this, that the deficit's out of control. If you tell people, I mean, that's the sad thing, is people don't realize it has gone down under Obama.
Right. They don't even know what he knows. But I don't think they would know the other way either, because they make it so complicated. And I think it's just people quit. They give up, or they're confused, or just settle it, stop fighting. That's what they're doing. The good thing the Republican Party is doing is presenting the picture that everyone's fighting.
Right. Well, it must be both people are equally to blame. Right.
Right.
All right. 58 minutes after
and
the
Kathleen
hour.
Just opened a beer.
Yeah, I did.
No, it's not a beer.
Is that a sound effect? It's an orange soda.
Yes, it's orange
it is,
beer.
Seriously.
It's Bona beer.
And it's the right. key.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Comedy confection known as Kathleen Madigan, all 3 hours live in studio.
Now, can you see me?
She's too rich for every day.
I have to sit up straight. What has happened to radio?
No slouching in radio.
I know. Now my back's going to hurt because I'm sitting
no
up straight.
No slouching in
you're
radio.
You're such a little elfin. Show people your little elfin boots.
Oh, these are my, yeah.
It's a little elfin comedian, Kathleen
elfin
Madigan.
My mom has these, too. Aww. We go out together in these.
They're precious. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Kids, let's see, Joyce in Schaumburg.
Schaumburg.
Says, Steph, I'll be 3 for 3 this April for the Sexy Liberal Show, Chicago Theater, April 13th, 3 for 3. She's a Steph head from Schaumburg, all the way up from Schaumburg. Come to the big shoe.
You, as a drinky, should think about moving that show over to the City Winery, and they make your own wine for you and give you your own label.
Wait a minute now. What?
Yeah!
No!
Did she just call me a drinky?
That does not exist, does it?
It certainly does, and I have a case being shipped, and I'll bring you a bottle of Baby She Madigan the next time I roll in here.
Nice!
Speaking of comedy, Kathleen Madigan will be appearing at, March 8th, Grove of Anaheim.
I'll be leaving right after this.
March 9th,
for the traffic.
Thousand Oaks. April, January, February, May 10th at the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin.
Nice.
One of our very favorite venues. Hooray! You have to see her live. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
May 4th, taping a special in Detroit, Royal Oak Theater.
Which one?
Royal Oak Theater
Yay.
In Detroit.
Hooray.
And until then, you can get Gone Madigan on Netflix.
Yes, you can.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the next one's going to be called Madigan Again.
Madigan Again.
Because I'm
really
tired of thinking of titles. And you know what? I think it's funny if you say it 3 times quickly. Because people will read it and go, Madigan Again. Huh? It'll
the third one will be Madigan Again.
Exactly, and it'll just keep fading into nowhere, into oblivion. And then people will go, which one is this? And I'll go, I don't know, crapshoot. Buy it or don't. Like I'm tired of tricking you into it.
House of Mirrors shut and leave from
She's the best saleswoman. Buy it or don't.
I'm the worst. That's why I don't sell merch after shows. I'm like, I don't know what joke is on what. What do you think? I sit around listening to myself? How egotistical would that be? They're all just pick one. They're $10. You'll have fun, I promise.
All right, speaking of fun, we're still talking sequester, the president.
We're going to do our best to make sure that our agencies have the support they need to try to make some very difficult decisions, understanding that there are going to be families and communities that are hurt, and that this will slow our growth. It will mean lower employment in the United States than otherwise would have been, but we can manage through it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be 750,000 jobs they think we're going to lose from this? And now Republicans controlling the House move to ease the crunch in Pentagon readiness. So now they're trying to do their own version of undoing the sequester, but only the stuff they want to undo.
Mm-hmm.
Pain felt by such agencies as the FBI, Border Control, blah, blah, blah. House Republicans legislation would award the Defense and Veterans Affairs Departments their detailed 2013 budgets, giving those agencies more flexibility, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. This is not the way we normally govern America. You don't get to just make up your own plan.
No.
It's okay.
I don't even think it's going to work, though. Wow. I really believe the whole game is just keep fighting.
Right.
Chaos. Create chaos.
Yes.
Just create chaos. And that's the goal. And then they don't, after that, who cares?
Yeah.
You just want chaos.
The House measure denies money sought by the president and Democratic allies to implement, you know, stuff like the health care law and financial regulations. Just the stuff they don't like. It's right. Like kids pulling out the vegetables they don't like, and they think that's governing somehow. All right. The president.
Yeah, hiding the carrots underneath the steak.
Right. Mm-hmm. I used to throw the peas under the bench that I sat on in the kitchen.
And the dog would eat them?
Right.
Oh.
It is an area of deep concern. I think everybody knows where I stand on this issue. We are going to manage it as best we can to try to minimize the impacts on American families.
Yeah. And then Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Secretary.
We are already seeing the effects at some of the ports of entry, the big airports, for example. Some of them had very long lines this weekend.
Yeah, like you were saying, Jim, there's going to be inconvenience, and then we're going to...
Yeah, then people then there's going to be.
What's happening? I'm personally being inconvenienced. Now it's serious.
This will shock you, Kathleen. There may be delays at LAX, which it may be...
Well, you know,
difficult
what?
To navigate LAX, which I...
If I start even talking about airports, I'll never leave this room.
And
so I'm trying to politely stay, because the anger within me, if I had just a little bit of your vodka, I would pull a rock star move and destroy this entire studio based on how the TSA lines are already.
Right.
Unless you have the secret cards.
And can we confirm one thing? Hang on, one thing. Does it not take longer to get your bag at LAX than the trip from wherever you come from, even if it's like New Zealand?
There's really no airports where I go. I think sometimes that's why I like to work in smaller cities, because then you're flying in and out of a smaller thing, and it takes a lot to get there. But the whole thing. I mean, I went to see my parents in Florida. The Sarasota Airport, beautiful, and everybody's 100, so I'm moving much quicker than them. I mean, I just fly right through that.
And it has
thing.
Three gates.
It's lovely. Yeah. It's like the 50s.
Do you have the card?
I have secret cards.
Do you really?
No, I mean, you know, if you fly enough on American, you get to be fancy and they give you the card. But sometimes they don't even have those lines. They just have given up on those, too. They're well, that's the whatever, if you're diamond or plutonium or whatever color you are. And then that doesn't even exist. So.
No, I know what you mean. Like, is Santa Fe? Cutest little turquoise airport ever.
Little turquoise.
Oh, it's precious. It's
Norfolk.
Little...
The whole thing's mermaids. And then
That's my hometown.
I know. Yeah. And then I asked the lady at a gift shop, what's up with the mermaid? She goes, I don't know. Somebody saw one once. I go, that's the explanation. Somebody saw one once.
Yeah.
And then I was like, really? And then I Wikipedia'd
it. Well, there are shipyards there.
Exactly.
Well, it's a huge harbor, port. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so. I don't...
Mermaids.
Santa Fe Airport's like this big. It's like actual size, the cutest little thing ever. I know, Aisha Tyler, we traveled there.
It's like Fisher-Price My Airport, you know?
Right. And you get your bag in like 4 seconds. There's like, here's your bag. Would you like some pie?
The runway's like your driveway.
Or would you like a Chili Riano?
Gillette, Wyoming. It's almost private. It's that small. I felt like, wow, there's only 6 other people on the plane. I can pay them to get off. And then I just fly this plane into my private airport where the two ladies that work there greet me. Hello, Miss Madigan. Did you have any luggage? No, I'm not staying that long. Just this purse. Just the purse. It's a big purse.
Yeah.
It's Grandma Madigan. I pulled Grandma Madigan. My purse is now larger than my whole mid-body.
All right. We talked about the reappearance of the Romneys. Yeah. Which was, wow. Oh, we missed them, mittens.
The weakness that our campaign had and that I had is we weren't effective in taking my message primarily to minority voters, to
brown
Hispanic
folks.
Americans, African Americans, other minorities.
Right.
That was a real weakness. Mm-hmm. We did very well with the majority population, but not with minority populations. And that was a failing. That was a real mistake.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I think the Obamacare attractiveness and feature was something we underestimated, in particularly among lower incomes.
We're back on that.
Yeah, that was quite a shock that people with no health insurance might want, you know, health insurance.
Well, they heard your message, Mitt.
Yeah.
They didn't like it. They heard it. It wasn't because you didn't tweet. He tried to blame it on that for a while. Well, I wasn't very good with somebody in the campaign.
I'm not very good with the twit.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Well, when you're so rich that you're literally out of time, and I don't mean you're running out. I mean, you can exist outside of time. I have comedian friends that have reached this level of Wow, you're that rich, you literally don't know what time it is or what day it is. Someone will tell you that. And if you've lived that way your whole life, like tweeting, I'm sure, I bet he doesn't even have a cell phone. Why would you need one? I've hired this man to be my phone.
Right.
Tell me what, did anyone call me today? And then you tell me what they say. And then boom, 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 boom. I don't have to worry with the gadget. So tweeting, come on.
He had several parody accounts that had more followers than he did.
Oh, I'm certain. I would be certain of it.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mittens again.
The president had the power of incumbency. Obamacare was very attractive.
Right.
Particularly those without health insurance.
Right.
And they came out in large numbers to vote, so that was part of a successful campaign.
Oh, dear, the little brown ones were really troublesome to.
Oh, man. You know, I kind of feel sorry for a person who doesn't get it at the end.
Yeah.
No, really.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like, you just don't. Here's why I lost. Okay, I went on the field and I played terribly, blah, blah, blah. The other team was better, blah, blah, blah. Or at least say that.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's only brown people.
It was, he's still on a 47%. They got angry because there's somebody filmed me at the dinner saying what I thought.
Right.
For reals.
Right.
For
you
reals.
Know, Daily Banter had a piece about why it's sort of a larger thing. Romney, like many Republicans, trusts his heart over reality. It really is a larger issue, isn't it? It comes as no surprise Mitt Romney told Fox News he seriously believed in his heart he'd win the election. He admitted to disregarding most of the polls and polling averages in favor of, you know, one or two that made him feel better. The Republican math, right?
The bubble. Stay in the bubble. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. According to Nate Silver, by November 5th, the day before the election, he had only an 8.6% chance of winning. But, I mean, they really were shocked. You could see the look on their faces.
And I was shocked that they were shocked. I'm like, there's just shock
really?
Going all around. Are you really shocked? Like, did you really? But you can stay, you know, like sometimes after shows you have to do meet and greets with the richer people and stuff, and you feel like, oh, I've just entered the bubble. They're very nice and polite.
Right.
But it's a bubble. Like, in a real world, you wouldn't even want to talk to me. But because I was funny out there, and Funny Pants is coming in, and her elf boots, we got to meet this lady. And that's absolutely fine. But the bubble they live within.
Is that how they announce you? Here comes Funny
here
Pants
comes,
and her
yeah.
elf boots.
Yeah. Make way. Make way. The leprechaun has arrived in your town with a pot of gold. And so a pot of jokes, really. It's a little pot of jokes.
Anyway, but hey, they finish up. Then when the bubble bursts, it's all because of those pesky minorities demanding their Obamacare and other assorted bribes from the president. Nevertheless, this bubble boy dynamic and the misleading nature of confirmation bias envelops a multitude of Republican positions, and instead of embracing the broad scientific consensus on climate crisis, they just trust their gut that it's not real. On austerity and deficit reduction, Republicans trust their gut that steep spending reductions following a deep recession will stimulate economic growth, when in fact there's not one single example of this occurring in the history of the American economy. They believe the deficit has skyrocketed when in fact it's dropped by $555 billion since Obama's been president. Anyone who tries to pass along the truth is shouted down as a secular liberal conspirator because blah, 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 blah. You know, compromise has no place in matters of faith is basically what the piece is.
Well, I think you're always going to believe everything he believes, too, if you don't ever leave the bubble. Like if I took Mitt Romney to all my casino gigs, come down to the casino. Now, let's get out of the meet and greet. Let's leave the meet and greet with the donors and let's go down to the casino. This is America. That bubble up there, those last 12 people, they don't know what's going on down here.
Nope.
And trust me, it is an entirely different makeup. It's a whole different group. They don't even know what Obamacare is. They're trying to get 21, and they're focused on their next card. And should I take it or not? Like, there's just a blindness if you stay. There's a danger.
Yeah.
This is the danger. You never get it.
I can't imagine Mitt Romney at Casino Morongo.
That's what I'm saying. No idea.
Right.
No clue.
Oh, wow. And you need quarters to play this machine.
What are those?
Where's the ballet?
Is the Mint still making change?
What are these metal things? I've never seen those before.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Kathleen Madigan. Live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She gets insulted by more right-wingers before 6 a.m. than most people do all day. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's your milkshake that's doing.
Yeah, you know you want it. 24 minutes after the hour, Kathleen Madigan just came running back in here on her tiny elfin feet. Now,
yes.
You say you don't run because why?
I heard it's bad for your knees.
Okay.
If there's something healthy, I'll find something unhealthy about it. I could be the opposite of Sanjay Gupta. Yeah, really, Sanjay? Is it, and then let him go on and on about why something's bad for you, and then I'll go, well, here's the bad thing about the bad thing, and then combat that idea.
There you go.
How long do you want to live? You know, seriously. Really? I would take him off if I was CNN or limit the role. Holy my
Downer.
God.
Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mark in Texas, you're on with Kathleen. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Steph.
Hey. Hi.
I was just wondering, you know, the Republicans were always jobs.
Uh-huh.
What happened to that?
Wow. Oh, man.
Okay, thanks.
I really slapped the boner about that.
Wow. I think that, you know what he was into?
That was
the chocolate vodka.
You guys are on the same wavelength.
I think that was John Boner.
Remember when things just be good?
Okay.
I wish every call was like, what happened to that? Click. Exactly, sir. Exactly.
Why does this summer fix all the problems?
You know, he could spice up Meet the Press,
right?
Yes.
That man. Put hey,
by the
hey
way,
you. Poison shoots.
By the way, that's the sound we heard in John Boner's dressing room Meet the Press this weekend. Okay, all right. Shelley in Sheboygan. Hi, Shelley. Hello, Shelley.
Oh. Hi, Steph.
Shelley.
I just wanted to let you know, first, I'll say hi to Jim and Chris and Kathleen. You are the bomb. We saw you at the Comedy Fest a couple weeks ago in Traverse City. It was great.
Oh, that was awesome. That was a fun gig, and the snow was beautiful until I had to drive
it. Yep. Yep, it was great. John Fugel sang. It was awesome.
That's right.
Yay.
Anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know that the hot rumor in the state of Michigan, if you're not aware of it, Governor Snyder,
yes,
appointed an emergency manager for the city of Detroit, or he's going to.
Right.
They have 10 days, so they have about 6 days left on it. And the hot rumor from my sister and a few people that work downstate is that it's going to be none other than the illustrious Romney.
It's going to be Mitt Romney
to fix it?
That's what a lot of people are saying,
oh,
and a lot of us are
God.
Wondering if that's why he was on the talk shows so much lately.
Yes.
Well, they
because
said he's
better
than the guy that wrote the op-ed, Let Detroit Go Bankrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
They said that he's going to be doing something big,
right.
So maybe that is it.
Oh.
I'm sure his offices won't be down there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you'll actually have to go to Detroit, really?
Wow.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good
That's
luck.
A good inside rumor, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
She was calling from Sheboygan. Eric in New York. Hi, Eric in New York. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, you're on with Kathleen. Go ahead.
You know, I was listening to The Rude Pundit, and I was thinking, what psychological phenomenon is the right label for the Republican body politic, and it's some weird blend of Munchausen's by proxy, you know, where you inflict pain on somebody else to get sympathy for
yourself,
you know, for having endured it.
Yeah.
And there's also
right.
this blend of narcissistic personality syndrome that covers the part where you're the, you know, the guy that comes in and fixes it. Not that it's ever being fixed, but there must be some way to codify this this weird disease.
Yeah, well, it's,
you know,
like the arsonist coming and putting out the fire and going, look, I've fixed it now.
It's dreadful, but I mean, it really started. It was so obvious. I thought just ginning up the whole, the whole 9/11 thing, which was certainly serious, but I mean, to call it things that it wasn't, and you know, drag it off into theaters that didn't have anything to do with it.
Yep, I hear you. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Yeah, there you go. Good stuff this week. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, speaking of good stuff, Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, don't worry, sweetie. I think I know how to whip up an audience just short of a frenzy.
Yeah, Kathleen Madigan does. Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us all 3 hours. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's our Tuesday pal, everybody.
Okay.
34 yeah. minutes after the hour as I stall.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Hi, Charlie Pierce.
I got whiplash. I started doing my opening 2 minutes, then the music didn't start. I had to
stop. I know. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Charlie Pierce, you know, I love...
Chris has got those big muscular fingers. He can't work the buttons anymore.
Yeah, yes. I know. I like mash 3 different buttons at once when I try it.
Yeah. It's like they're just like oven mitts now. He just, I don't know. Okay. You write, the job creators are not creating jobs, which is quite a shock. You say it's not often you see an entire putative political philosophy drop from a high building until it splatters on the concrete and feral dogs and cats come to lick up that which remains, only to stagger off gagging and puking because not even they can stomach it anymore. It's even David Gregory asked what sort of was a question about this, right? That when has this ever happened?
Somebody's lit a fire under the Dancing Master. He pointed out to John Boehner that the people running the corporation seem to be doing extraordinarily well, even though they're not hiring anybody.
Right, right, yeah. And what is this whole job creation myth? Why aren't the job creators creating jobs, right?
Because they can make more money not creating jobs.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of that whole the Boehner interview? Because first of all, just the Chiron made me crazy, as I've been saying all week about, you know, are both sides equally to blame for the sequester?
No, they're not. Right. One side came up with it as a desperate ploy to avoid the vandalism of the other side.
Yeah.
That's why we have it.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out it may not have been as smart a gamble as the White House let it out to be, but... I mean, there's no question that it was devised as a way to keep the government running.
But, you know, here's the thing is even when David Gregory asks what approximates the question, he lets Boehner get away with just lying, right?
Well, I mean, to an extent, certainly the whole notion that there's no plan and that the president is only wants tax increases and all of that is all nonsense. And worst of all, it's easily debunkable nonsense. But, you know, there are limits to the meet the press form, unfortunately, and that bumped up against them.
Yep, exactly.
I'm guessing Boehner stipulated that there'd be no follow-up questions if he was going to be on the show.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a hard thing even for me to say about it. But I mean, there were follow-up questions. They just weren't very good follow-up questions. That's all.
Yeah. The Return of the Romneys, as you write, was one of the all morning.
Fun,
really?
It?
Oh, it was just, it was a
How can we miss you if you won't go away?
We were saying, what was the point, right, since they just doubled down on why they lost, as Kathleen
you
was saying.
I think I said this when we were in Washington for the inauguration. I was concerned that he was going to show up on the west front of the Capitol.
Right.
In a morning coat with his hand in the air. I still don't think he thinks he lost.
You say, we saw the reemergence this weekend of that lovely Romney couple who used to stop by with some regularity last year, charming us with their patrician je ne sais quoi, tossing coins off the balcony to the peasants and generally dividing the world into the only two classes that matter, themselves and the help. They dropped by again, this time the courtesy of the good folks at Fox News, who I believe did this on purpose, so we could all judge the caliber of the bullet we dodged last fall by the whopping huge crater it left in the wall behind our heads.
The idea that you would have to look at these people for 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
While they explained to you that everything they were doing is really for your own good, and why are you complaining? And we didn't really get the one thing that really got to me was the lovely Mrs. Romney saying that we didn't really get to know Mitt.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Has there been a presidential candidate in the last 20 years that we got to know better?
I like that you said her royal equanimity stumped her foot. In anger and not in an attempt to count to five and got vexed and ratty toward the media again.
Vexed. I'm sorely vexed.
I don't understand what the purpose of this interview was. I'm trying to figure out why he's speaking at CPAC.
Yeah.
I have one problem with CPAC inviting him unless they just want to throw things at him.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
it's possible the whole thing's a sucker play, but why would he go?
Yeah, well, I mean, and the other thing, look at their,
why does he stand to gain it by, you know, going in and talking to the monkey house? I don't get it.
And plus, I mean, what are they doing? It's only good news for us, right? They invited Sarah Palin to speak and not Chris Christie, right?
Yeah, but Sarah Palin's one of them. I mean, I can understand that. I mean, I can understand Ann Coulter. I can understand, you know, Marco Rubio. I can understand some of these people. I can't understand Mitt Romney.
Right.
I mean, I can even understand not inviting Chris Christie because, frankly, he doesn't like you very much, and why waste your time? But...
Because if you think
they didn't like Mitt Romney in 2008. They didn't like him last time. They don't like him now. They're not going to like him tomorrow.
I like that they're continuing to invite people that are not electable in any way, right? I mean, George Bush's former chief strategist said inviting Sarah Palin, who he asserts wasn't competent enough to keep a Fox News contract, is not a good idea, right?
No, I guess not. But again, I think you're entitled, if you're having a convention, to invite speakers who are simpatico with you.
Right.
But Mitt Romney has never been that, and everybody knows it. They know it. He knows it. I have no idea what he hopes to gain by this speech.
Yeah.
Unless he's got delusions.
Yeah. I don't think
that,
there's.
You know, he's going to put the band back together again in 4 years and try to do, you know, and prove that the third time's a charm.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, speaking, what do you make of Jeb Bush? So he obviously looks like he's getting in, but literally, that stunned even Republicans, his flip-flop on immigration, right?
Well, now he's flip-flopped back again.
Oh,
on
has
Morning
he?
Joe, on Morning Joe today, he said he's in favor of a path to citizenship.
Oh, which my God.
Which means he has flip-flopped on his own book before it's published.
Wow. Because being a flip-flopper works so well for Mitt Romney in this last election.
Well, no,
cycle, right.
It's funny because I just wrote about this. Why are we surprised when any member of the Bush family does something out of pure political expediency?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, do we have to be reminded of this every 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, this was, even somebody has to say, wow, for a guy who's been a luminary on this issue for the GOP, his endorsement of such a regressive policy is deeply troubling. But as you say, I mean, and now, so then you're thinking, oh, he's really going for it because he needs to get that Tea Party base. And now, now what does it mean that he's flip-flopped back again already so quickly?
Well, he'll do it. He'll flip-flop once again before Iowa. I mean, the Bush family will do whatever the Bush family needs to do to get the offices to which the Bush family thinks it's entitled because they're the Bush family.
Well, and that's what I thought.
These people make the Romneys look like, you know, feudal San Franciscans.
But this is why I thought, oh, he has to be serious about running because he's trying to get the Tea Party. I mean, he literally was to the right of not just his brother, but Sean Hannity. On no path to citizenship, right? Before he just flip-flopped this morning.
Absolutely. And you know, that mean because he thought, I have a real personal axe to grind against Jebby because of what he did during the whole Terry Schiavo thing.
Right.
But this is what the Bush family does. I mean, this is what every Bush is. Where did compassionate conservatism go as soon as, W got in the White House?
Yeah.
Where did voodoo economics go as soon as Ronald Reagan offered the old man the vice presidency? This is what they do.
I love the advisor to Romney.
Richard Kramer didn't title his book What It Takes for Nothing. I mean,
yeah. I love an advisor to Mitt Romney went apoplectic on his original stance. He said, where the hell was this Jeb Bush during the campaign? He spent all this time criticizing Romney. It turns out he has basically the same position. So he wants people to go back to their country and apply for citizenship? Well, that's self-deportation. We got creamed for talking about that, and now Jeb's saying the same thing, which...
Yeah, well, I mean, you got creamed for talking about that because you used the phrase self-deportation.
Right.
But the Romney people are surprised that a Bush family is acting in its own political self. A member of the Bush family is acting in his own political self-interest. I'm shocked to learn this.
What do you think, Kathleen? There may be a Bush versus Clinton in 2016.
Well, I can tell you what, my younger siblings will kill themselves because that's all they've lived with their entire life. They would have voted for anybody other than Hillary because they couldn't listen to. Like if you're born then, that's all you've had your whole life. I think Mitt really is run in his mind. I don't think he's lost.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of he wasn't understood. And then she says, well, nobody got to know him. Well, what are you hiding? Where's the fun Mitt? Could he come out? If there's a fun Mitt, bring him out. And you didn't do Saturday Night Live. That was our chance to see Funny Pants. And you said no. You ran away. So whose fault is it that we don't know
Mitt? There you go.
I mean, I can only imagine the Monday in the writer's room at Saturday Night Live when they realize they have to write jokes for Mitt Romney that week.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez!
White knuckle panic. And we have to give the... Stick award of the political cycle to Mark Sanford. Did you see this story, Charlie?
He's marrying the Argentine firecracker.
He's engaged to the Argentinian woman. However, he approached his ex-wife about running his congressional campaign.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, man. You talk about big clanging brass ones.
Wow. She's got nothing to do anymore.
That, by the way, were the problem in the first place.
Exactly.
You can hear them clanging all the way down the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. How do you start that conversation?
I bet you heard clanging after he asked her that. according to Jenny, she had already told Mark she would be taking a pass on the race the day before. And so he says to her, since you're not running, I want to know if you'll run my campaign. We could put the team back together. Oh, Jenny God. Told him in so many words that wasn't going to happen. Mark made one last appeal. I could pay you this time.
Oh wow.
Do you think he might have a sensitivity chip missing, as Jennifer honey, Aniston would say?
Yes, honey, just leave the money on the dress.
Let's put the band back together. What do you say?
Man, one man's family. I'm surprised he hasn't asked her to be like matron of honor at the next wedding.
Maybe sorry, wedding coordinator.
We did get my new wife's family up here from Argentina in time. Will you stand in for them, please?
Oh, boy. All right. Charlie Pierce, great stuff as always. Esquire.com. See you next week, honey.
Thanks, sweetie.
All right, there he goes. Yay. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Got to talk about this 911 call and the Seahole, California woman who died because the nurse refused to do CPR. We will talk about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah! Oh, no, let's go! Go crazy. Let's get down. Look for the purple
dance. Let's go! Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Let's go! Kathleen Madigan live in studio all 3 hours. Hooray! 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, I think you're sinking again. You need to
sit up
straight. Like a good
I hurt my back. Sitting up straight for a documentary thing. The next day, I was like, what is wrong with my back? I was like, all right, I had to sit up straight.
So I used muscles in my back.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I wasn't there.
Slouching.
In case you missed the big breaking news in the first hour, Kathleen Madigan has quit smoking.
That
because she
news.
Was afraid of dry socket.
Exactly. Just saying, if you get a toothpull, look into it. Yeah. Don't look it up and don't look at the pictures.
Because you previously sent me the story of the woman that called 911 for cigarettes.
My hero!
Right?
My hero! She was in the backyard drinking beers and they ran out of smoke. And
right.
She knows she can't drink and drive. She's a responsible citizen. So then she called 911
problem
saying,
solver.
Can you guys, if you're out on a run, could you just swing by with some smokes?
Right.
Got in a lot of trouble. And then when she sobered up, she's like, I realized that was a mistake. And then I thought, clearly you're not a long-time smoker because you would know just call the liquor store if you
right.
just buy a minimum of something.
Something.
They will bring you smokes.
Yeah.
They're like angels.
Angels on the front of Time magazine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Angels.
And then I'd
angels.
Put a picture of the guy from
right.
Abe's Liquor.
There
angel?
You go. Hello?
Vote yes or no.
Look who's
yes.
at my door with wings. And
turkey?
Seeds. Okay, turkey.
Do you have Slim Jims? I bet you do. Slim Jims.
Throw some of those in as well. All right. Everybody's been talking about this horrible story. A nurse's refusal to give CPR to a dying 87-year-old woman at a California independent living home, despite desperate pleas from a 911 dispatcher, has prompted outrage and spawned a criminal investigation. Calls for legislation to prevent a repeat of what happened at the Glenwood Gardens in Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of horrifying. This is the 911 call.
We need to get CPR started. That's not enough. Okay.
Yeah, we can't do CPR.
Okay, then hand the phone. Just hand the phone to the passerby. If you can't do it, I need to hand it to the passerby. I'll have her do it. Or if you've got any citizens there, I'll have them.
No.
Is there anybody that works there that's willing to do it?
We can't.
Are we just
going to
wait? We're going to let this lady die?
Well, that's why we're calling 911.
We can't wait. She can't wait right now. She is stopping breathing. Anybody there can do CPR. Give them the phone, please. This woman's not breathing enough. She's going to die if we don't get this started. Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay.
I am a nurse, but I cannot have our other senior citizens who don't know CPR.
I will instruct them in
a dining room.
I will instruct them. Is there anyone there who's willing? Okay. I don't understand why you're not willing to help this patient.
I am.
Okay, great. Then I'll walk you through it all. EMS takes the liability for this, Colleen. I'm happy to help you, okay? This is EMS protocol.
Wow.
Wow. How does the nurse not know CPR? I had to learn it to wait tables.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, and plus she was saying it because I know, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I know, but she said, I'll walk you through it. Just get anybody.
Right, anybody can do it.
A 911 dispatcher can
tell you. I've seen it on TV.
It was against the policy of the assisted living home.
Right, which somebody, advocate for the nursing.
She called it the assisted dying home.
Right, they said independent living facilities should not have a policy that says you can stand there and watch somebody die. I mean, it's, and that's the thing. It's like, have we become so afraid of, you know, litigiousness? But mm-hmm. I mean, that's you're going. Is that even a human? Like, no, sorry, no. She just literally.
But she said EMS. The
she said no,
all
not
responsibility.
This time. Right.
All liability.
What was really bothersome is her tone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the kind of people you want to punch in the face when they answer you like that.
It's not my thing,
yeah,
maybe.
I'm sorry. There's no planes leaving for anywhere today. Sorry.
There was a part in the story they were talking about how a lot of times in situations like this, passersby are afraid, and I don't know whether, again, because we become so litigious or whatever, but they do have a hard time, whether people are panicking or they think there's going to, what if they do it wrong or whatever, but I think there's a statute in the law that you're not liable if you use your best
judgment,
efforts.
Good Samaritan.
It's the whole thing, don't get involved.
Right.
It's like the woman that got stabbed in New York, right, in the 70s, and how many witnesses, and nobody did anything.
But you can break people's ribs if you do it improperly, CPR, but still.
Right.
But still, I'd rather be alive with a couple of broken ribs than dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
You know.
That's
pretty final.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I know. I don't. That
was horrifying.
Yeah. No, you're right. It was the tone.
Did she die?
She
did die?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The ambulance finally showed up, and they took her to the hospital. She died at the hospital.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, haven't you ever seen it on TV, lady?
I have.
I mean, I don't know that I would do it right anymore, but I'd try.
Right.
I watched ER a lot.
Took scuba lessons a million years ago, and they teach you it there.
I know. Actually, the story reminded me. I'm like going, I think I should learn that. I don't really know. I would have to be instructed. I don't think I've ever had to learn it.
We had to learn the Heimlich maneuver, too.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, wow, you know, I don't really, a big guy, I don't think I could do it. But I learned it just to be a server in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You have to know. Yes, we were expected to help people choking on our food.
Right. A nurse in a elderly assisted living place.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Right. To work at Applebee's, you had to know.
Yeah, I don't know how to work a Band-Aid.
And there was nothing panicked about that lady's voice. That's what I think is disturbing, too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I don't know how to do it. Oh, my God, I don't want to get in trouble. Oh, my God, that I could at least
panic.
Go.
Like, right.
I get it. This lady's freaked out. She's going to be a killer or there's going to be a lawsuit. Or no freak out.
It's against our policy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Everybody else is at bingo right now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nah,
can't go get anybody.
Wow. Tim in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Kathleen. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to say something about the media, you know, as far as the right wing. When they come up, they have their little spoofs and they say they're utter lies. And then it seems like the main media kind of follows through and goes, you know, a little bit more to the right instead of being in the middle. It's like in Face the Nation, the right wing will say statements, and then and regular media does not question it. That like nobody has enough guts to sit there and tell the truth. And if somebody flip flops, I mean, why not? Because they can flip flop, and everybody just says, oh, well, that's just the way it is. And they're not going to get questioned on main media. It's like they come on a right wing program and they'll say blah, blah, blah. And then they come onto a regular program and they'll say, well, you know, I didn't really mean this. I meant this. Instead of being called up and saying, you know, you lied.
Well,
and that's the biggest problem, I think, is healthcare. It's like Obama, healthcare, affordable healthcare. I've always called it affordable healthcare. And, a misinformation program, you know, right wing will sit there and say, well, they call it Obamacare. But then, you know, the Democrats and even Obama himself say, well, it's okay. They went with the term Obamacare, which I thought was a mistake.
I like that he embraced it. He's like, you know, they're right. I do care. And I mean, but that's when you watch Meet the Press, it's a perfect example of what we've been talking about. It's just, they present an alternate version of reality and they sort of like make the pretense of asking questions about it. But
because there's no facts anymore either.
Right.
There's no facts in any discussion. The fact is the sky, the base color is blue. Now they will go on and go, no, the sky is gray. Well, no, the base color is blue. But we can't, though, then continue on with the discussion as if you're fact.
Right.
There's no fact. They don't even, there's no, if we can't have a discussion or an argument,
if
we can't
CNN,
agree on the facts.
People that think the sky is yellow.
Yeah. And then we'd be open to those calls. If you think it's purple, this is not a matter of opinion. Yeah. This is where it goes off the rails, and then they continue on with, well, if this guy is purple in his view, I mean, blah, 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 blah. And so it all just becomes a non-conversation.
Yeah.
Well, I suspect that these people, you know, they have an agenda, and they say, don't ask me this, this, or this, because I'll never come on again.
Yeah, I do, too. I've been quoting the Daily Beast a lot. Just some good stuff. John Avlon, hostage to his caucus, John Boehner can't keep his message straight. It's official. Washington has no idea how to get out of the mess it created with the sequester. That's the message John Boehner sent with his Meet the Press interview. This was almost one of the most stunning things he said. He said, I don't think anyone quite understands how it gets resolved.
Really? What are we paying for then?
Yeah, cancel it. Yeah. Boehner doesn't even seem to grasp the economic impact of the cuts. I don't know whether it's going to hurt the economy or not. I don't think anyone quite understands how this sequester is really going to work.
I can't even grasp my own caucus.
He can't. He cannot grasp his own caucus. That's the problem.
Okay. Oh, boy.
All right. More on all of that. Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They are amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button and enter the promo code Stephanie. Do it! Go! Speaking of amazing, Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio with us all 3 hours. And she hasn't left at all because she'd stopped smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you thought.
Amazing.
I'd sneak out. Nope. It's for real.
We've just sat here in awkward silence during commercial breaks
instead. Yes, well, you guys work hard, and I continue to Google asinine things.
Did you go down the screaming goat meme like we did? We could not help ourselves.
The screaming goat? I don't know. I was
screaming
just,
goats? Oh,
goats
no.
Goats that scream like human beings?
Yes.
Oh, no. I was reading about them booing Bieber for showing up late.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Showing up 2 hours late at a concert. Really? I'd be upset, too.
Wow.
Yeah. What are you so busy doing when you're 19? Get to the show. I have an excuse to be late. I was napping.
Right.
I need
right.
one.
Yeah.
Have screaming goats open for you because they've
been just screaming at people?
Yeah, a lot of them sound shockingly like Andrew Dice Clay. But they've been putting all the popular songs, the screaming goats.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm catching you up to date because you're on the road a lot.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I missed that.
All right, speaking of the road, Damien in Johnstown says, staff, Mark Levin's a dummy. You have no audience, so all those people who were chilling at the Beacon in October and the Warner Theater in January in D.C. were either imaginary or lost. Thank you very much. And all those people will be chilling April 13th at the Chicago Theater for Sexy Liberal. Go, get your tickets now. Going very fast. And speaking of tickets going fast, Kathleen Madigan will be at the Grove of Anaheim on March 8th, Thousand Oaks, California, March 9th, and our favorite theater, Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin, May 10th, correct?
That's correct.
There you go. All right. You get around. Yes, you do. And you're going to tape The View this week.
Next week. Yes, and then I don't know when it's on. But they got to pick their favorite comedians, I guess, and Joy picked me, which I was
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I cannot reveal the other choices, but you can tune in and see.
Awesome.
I said, are you telling me Elizabeth did not choose me? Why not?
What?
Was I even in the hopper? That's what I want to know.
Oh, God, if she chose Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I was going to say, let us know and we'll plug it when you know when it's on.
Okay.
All right, you'll come back in. All right. Oh, this is today's I Just Shot Myself news. Because I'm just saying, a lot of times in gun control, they make the case for us, Kathleen. A Charleston man in hot water after police say he accidentally shot himself with a gun he had illegally. He was trying to teach his girlfriend how to safely handle a gun, and it accidentally went off, hitting him in the leg. Which, when you think about it, Jim, is a really good gun safety course.
Mm.
It is an excellent course on how not to handle a gun.
Ow!
Honey, do not do this.
Ow!
Whatever you do.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just got myself.
shut myself.
I think that's what Jacques Offenbach had in mind when he wrote
that. Well, the first rule of gun safety is don't have it loaded when you're teaching somebody.
Right.
Wow, he missed that class.
Yes.
Wow.
See this? Don't do that.
Do not do that, whatever. All right. Margaret in Texas, you're on with Kathleen. Hi, Margaret. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Well, I wasn't going to start with this, but you all were talking about the second coming of His Majesty, the Great Mitt.
Yes.
And, you know, I heard the 47% thing when it first came out on TV.
Right.
And it made me sick at my stomach. And it wasn't just the words he said that he thought he was saying just in private to his ultra-rich friends.
Yeah.
It was the way he said, it's like they're... They think they're entitled?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, that said it all for me. Boy, that was it.
Yes,
I
sir.
Wouldn't have voted
yes.
for him for dog catcher.
All right. Thank you.
Wow.
Surprising amount of people got up today, I think.
Another thing. There you go.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Okay, speaking of Romney, Bill O'Reilly talking about...
If Mitt Romney had defeated President Obama, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Oh,
President
probably.
Obama is not trying to solve the budget problem.
Oh, my God.
The president wants to raise taxes and redistribute income.
Oh,
everything
boy.
Else, be damned.
Yeah.
That's not leadership. And an honest
wow.
media should be pounding the president.
Oh, my
but
God.
But it's not. Instead, it is defending him.
Oh. This same Daily Beast piece, this is what they're saying, a standard, if fact-free Republican talking point repeated ad nauseum by Eric Cantor and the likes of Bill O'Reilly.
Sure.
Is that President Obama has no plan for a grand bargain, just wants to raise taxes. The White House has released
yes.
specific proposals for entitlement reform and spending cuts. It's just... The Daily Beast saying you can spin language but not reality. At the end of the day, math isn't partisan. The basic fact of divided government is that both parties will need to give a little bit and risk alienating their bases to achieve a grand bargain. This is just...
I got 98% of what I want. I'm pretty happy.
Right. Okay. All right. I don't... We'll post that.
That's
what
they're
Daily
saying.
Beast.
Math is facts.
Yeah.
And
right.
that's why I never understood math. But
me neither.
But
it's hard.
You can't
as Barbie
sit
said.
Here and say, exactly, it's... Extra hard is what my Barbie would have said. Extra hard. Avoid, avoid, avoid.
Okay. Bill Kristol, Fox News Sunday.
I had this sort of flashback to, I remember an interview I saw, I must have been in grad school in 77 or 78, with Gerald Ford, who had lost the presidency to Jimmy Carter. I had voted for Gerald Ford, one of many losing candidates I voted for. I thought he would have been much better than Jimmy Carter. He would have been. But I also remember watching the interview as, you know, in grad school and thinking, you know, that's not the future of the Republican Party. And I kind of had, I must say, with all due respect to Governor Romney, I sort of had that feeling watching him today, too.
Our long national
oh, wow.
nightmare is over.
Thank you. Whipped out the Gerald Ford.
yeah, because that's in such high demand now.
Okay. Hogan Gidley?
Yes.
He's the Republican strategist?
On MSNBC.
I enjoyed him on the Heroes show.
Oh.
Not that one?
Not that
no.
one.
The fact of the matter is, there are two ways to really get something done if you're the president. One is to take it to the people. And he's
and he
doing
did.
That. President's wonderful yes. at taking his issues to the people. However, if he doesn't, if he's entering or leaving a room and the room's not chanting his name, it's like he's lost. He doesn't know what to do.
Huh? See, he's popular,
yeah,
so therefore
I
he must
yeah.
be
yeah.
incompetent.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. I thought he made a pretty good case of it the other day. No one was chanting anything.
No.
Okay. Sean Hannity and the president.
You know, I wonder, is it a fair game to say that maybe the president, we could save 341 federal workers from being furloughed if he didn't take that golf trip to go play golf
oh,
with Tiger
up.
Woods down in Florida.
You idiot.
The State Department spent nearly $500 million on climate change. How many poor children or disabled children, to use the president's word, could we help? Are these legitimate
oh,
debates
boy.
We ought to be
Moron.
Having? He says we're going to hurt poor children or disabled children.
Yes.
So if we're going to spend
by
money
not
on
taxing
climate
people
change,
like
I'd
you.
Help the little children, wouldn't you?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, man.
God.
Yeah, that's it. If the president just hadn't taken that one golf trip, everything would be hunky-dory.
If
with
Sean
the budget.
Hannity got kicked in the head by a horse, no one would notice.
I really didn't
I
honestly
Ford.
Didn't know he was still on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay. The yeah. Stephanie Miller Show does not hope that Sean Hannity...
I didn't say I did. I'm just saying
okay.
no one would
so
be able to tell.
If he got kicked in the head, no one
okay.
would be able to tell.
Oh.
We're not hoping for it to
no.
happen.
No!
That's very good.
Newsbusters, thank you.
Unless it was one of Mitt Romney's horses.
Okay. Kathleen Louise Madigan.
But that horse was a loser. So I'm sure that horse I'm sure that horse doesn't exist anymore because he lost so bad.
That horse is currently sticking things together.
Yes.
It's a jumper, not a kicker.
I think he was in that sandwich I ate on the machine.
Yeah, okay.
That horse is in some elementary school classroom now. Next to some construction paper and scissors.
Crazy glued back an ashtray with that. Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
State of Arizona's in President Obama's crosshairs. Releasing illegal alien prisoners, suing them for trying to enforce existing immigration law. So these governors all know that. These governors all know they're dealing with Hugo Chavez.
Wow.
Wow. This is really how far off the rails we've gone. President Obama. Hugo Chavez. On the only days that he's not Hitler.
Right.
Yeah.
Most days he is Hitler.
Same three guys.
Right.
Different accents.
Right. Jim Tony Perkins.
No, mother blood! No!
No, not that guy. No, not that Tony Perkins.
You do not have a good memory. No, from Family Research Radio. Mm.
Maybe you've fallen for the lie that same-sex marriage won't affect you.
Uh-oh.
Well, it may take teenage boys invading girls' locker rooms to prove it.
What?
But redefining marriage is about a lot more than two people who love each other. This is about the fundamental altering of society.
Go back to the teenage boys raiding the girls' locker rooms.
Would you like to hear that again?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that
maybe
one of the dangers?
Fall.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've fallen for the lie that same-sex marriage won't affect you.
Right.
Well, it may take teenage boys invading girls' locker rooms to prove it.
What?
But redefining marriage is about a lot more than two people who love each other.
If boys are raiding the girls' locker room, they're not gay.
Yeah. Right. The whole... he lost me. I got that sentence. What are you talking about? Was this your fantasy?
You know, there's some weird illogic in there because I remember my high school best friend, Tracy Richards, and I remember our boyfriends at the time gave us, piggyback rides into the boys' locker room once, and we got in a lot of trouble from the priest at DeSales Catholic High School. I don't know what that means because I ended up gay.
Hmm, interesting.
It had some logic.
Tony Perkins is right.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Remember what you just said? We thought it'd be fun, and Father Bartonquist didn't.
Well, maybe
Father
he had
Bartonquist.
Maybe he had on in the locker room that you interrupted.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Oh.
Maybe that Father Barco, that was his cruising spot.
Yes.
He
didn't
like
girls.
Bar, this is my bar. It's your bar.
Yeah. Okay. Most people use the park. He used the locker room.
Stephanie, listen, call me from, my alma mater, please. I was just kidding. I don't know. I have no information. Just saying.
Looking at the Catholic Church these days, I mean, it's entirely possible.
Okay. All right.
What? What did I say?
Please, really? While we're popeless? Really?
Oh, my God, we're popeless.
I'm going to get hate tweets in 2 seconds, I'm forwarding them off. I knew
how. Okay, forward.
I don't care.
All right. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Kathleen Madigan on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Ain't that America, home of the free, yeah. No air traffic controllers for you and me.
Ha! 23. Yeah, America. Yeah. No regulation. No nothing. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Comedian Kathleen Madigan live in the studio with us. Live.
Live?
Live?
Jim, I have Sheldon Adelson.
Sheldon!
He spent as much as $150 million, as you remember, to help elect Republicans in 2012. He has informed the SEC in his Las Vegas Sands Corporation likely violated a federal law against bribing foreign officials.
Huh. How about that?
Quite coincidentally, late last year, he reportedly held meetings with at least one House GOP leader to discuss possible changes to the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Arguing that he had been the target of federal investigations under the act as retribution for his strong support for Republican candidates.
So just change the law.
Or for the fact that he did actually bribe foreign officials, so that's how he would need to have that law changed.
Right.
Because then that way he would be able to bribe freely.
It's pretty much an admission of guilt.
Without interference.
But he's Sheldon.
Sheldon Adelson. I was on the phone for you. Okay. By the way, I love this. Daily Coast writing, Republicans who didn't vote for the Violence Against Women Act say they did anyway because, why not? Because you can just lie in today's media. Daily Coast writing, let's say you're Republican. Sorry, I know there's no greater insult, but stick with me here. So you're Republican. You've just voted against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act, which has always in its two-decade history enjoyed broad bipartisan support because your party was hijacked by the uber wingnuts. Combating violence against women was considered uncontroversial and, you know, good in the past. Despite your best efforts to exclude not white, not straight women from the bill, it finally passes anyway. What do? You just lie and say you voted for it anyway. Hey, Michelle Bachmann, why don't you show us how it's done? Representative Bachmann recognizes the importance of giving local law enforcement and nonprofit programs the resources they need to fight against domestic violence and sexual assault, which is why she supported the stronger House version of the Violence Against Women Act, said a Bachmann spokeswoman. Well, no. The stronger version of it was the one that actually passed, the one that provided protection for all women, the one that Bachmann voted against.
So she lied like crap.
And she's not the only one. Republicans are explaining.
Right.
How they were really for the thing that they voted against.
Well,
and no one will bring them on a show and call them out on it.
No. They accidentally voted for the Bitch Had It Coming Act.
Right.
Which
is
almost the same thing.
Right. Pat in Wisconsin, you're on with Kathleen. Hello, Pat.
Oh, Kathleen, you're happy you're going to come in May because in Wisconsin it's turning white today again.
Yeah, I see that on the news right now.
Yeah. In fact, we have a snow day or I'd be in a classroom. But that's okay.
Snow day.
Eventually, it'll go away.
Okay.
Probably by the time you come to the Barrymore. Anyway, what I called about, and they haven't talked a lot about it, they've talked about education funding being cut, but in Wisconsin, we're going to lose over $10 million to fund the children who have special needs. Now, we picture a lot of different things that are under special needs. The kid in the wheelchair, the kid that has trouble learning, the kid that perhaps has some other issues. I work with kids who possibly someday might turn out to be one of those criminals that will hurt someone, and we try to teach them there are better ways to handle their anger management problems and things like that. So that's called the emotional and behavior disturbed kids. And those are all the people that, you know, they deserve the help of the government because otherwise some of them will end up in prison.
Right.
And, you know, they'll make money off of them because prison corporations of America love those people.
Well, Pat, as usual, you know, as the president was saying, the people that, you know, are in the, you know, worst position to handle it are going to be hit by these cuts.
Exactly. And that's the big concern is it's going to cost hundreds of teaching positions for the people who need it the most. I mean, how can you take something away from a child in a wheelchair or a child that is from an abused home and has emotional problems? I just think they would prefer, like the Spartans would have, to put them out in a flat rock and let them die.
Oh, dear.
Well, that was the
way. They probably won't name the bill that, but it's essentially what they're for.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That was depressing. Ike in Charleston, South Carolina. You're on with Kathleen. Hi, Ike.
I just have to say you both are incredibly sexy women, but I have to give top tips to Kathleen Madigan because you know what makes both y'all sexy is you're so smart and funny, and that's a sexy trait that anyone can have. I got a serious question for you, though.
Yes, Ike.
When it comes to the sequestration bill, if President Obama didn't sign it, it would not have gone into law. Did he have to sign that thing?
Yes.
Why couldn't he have sent it back to Congress?
Yes, he did. I mean, the way it is set up, you know, that's the thing when they say this whole thing about, oh, why won't the president lead? Why won't he? I mean, they would have called him a dictator if he said, that's the way the law is set up. He, Congress, you know, they both proposed it and Congress signed it, right? I mean, Congress, all of these House Republicans voted for it. Okay.
I don't know.
What if he didn't sign it, though?
I don't know. What is the penalty if you don't?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They call you a Hitler again and a dictator.
Well,
they're
going to do that anyway, so what's the downside?
I suppose. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Kathleen Madigan live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is dangerous. why the hell doesn't the government step in and tell us what we can and can't watch?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it with Kathleen Madigan, comedian extraordinaire, live in studio.
Sitting up straight.
Yes, you are. You're doing a really good job.
Yes. Thank you. The people at the current control room are loving you for that.
Yes, I have Advil on standby for a breakfast.
Or yes, maybe some leftover Vicodin from having your tooth pulled. Yeah.
I passed that on to my parents. Please. Yeah. There's something going on with them and golf and backs and I don't know. Yes. Right. I had extra. Better than selling it at a bar for $10.
My wife uses Vicodin when she wants to clean the house because it gets her all amped up.
I'm not sure
that is. It is not a cleaning product.
It's not like Comet.
No, she doesn't actually rub the pearls on.
There's something about Mary. You were, I don't know, somehow obsessed with Justin Bieber news earlier.
Yeah, I just saw that story that I was surprised that his fans were outraged with him.
He was 2 hours late for a concert.
Wow. Yeah, I blame Vicodin.
Right. It's probably Vicodin.
Probably. You get really comfortable on the couch, and you get involved with the ID channel, and it's one murder after another. I don't know. People will kill one another for like $18. It's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I've learned a lot, though.
I need at least 30. This is, you know what? It's the social media. I don't get it. Maybe it's because I'm old. This is a teen girl gets inundated with death threats after being retweeted by Justin Bieber. Did you see this? About a month ago, Bieber decided to randomly retweet a random teenager's random review of his recently released acoustic album. All she said is, not really a fan of Justin Bieber, but his acoustic album is actually good, tweeted 15-year-old Courtney somebody. It wasn't too bad at first, she said. Some people were saying I was lucky I was retweeted by him. Some people were jealous. Jealousy quickly gave way to rage as hundreds of believers began inundating Courtney with death threats. I'm a believer of him since 2009, and he didn't notice me.
Oh, really?
And you're not even a... Man, you get noticed. OMG. Just tell her to die and leave Justin alone, bemoaned another true fan. Eventually demands that Courtney kill herself gave way to a rumor that she was secretly pregnant with Bieber's left child. Courtney said that got her more than any other comments. They started saying I was pregnant with his child, that my child would be a prostitute.
See, this is why I never tweet.
See, exactly.
You don't want to get involved with any of that.
What?
Nonsense. You never tweet at Jim Ward Voices.
Well, and what's weird is she tweeted something nice to begin with.
Yeah.
Usually, if she would have written, I think this album is horrible, then I expect the attack.
Right.
But she wrote something nice, and then, wow.
It's high-tech bullying. It's like high-tech adult bullying now. It's just
What's even worse is that it's anonymous.
I thought Facebook was the
That's Facebook. The problem. And now it's anonymity because anybody can say anything. And then I'll get caught up, and I'll tell you what, Monkey Brain 16,048.
Yeah.
I got news for you. I'm like, what am I doing? Who's Monkey Brain? Yeah. Why am I speaking to this person?
At least when Roman Gomez bullied me
right.
in elementary
to
school,
face.
I knew
face
who it was.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But
right.
this is anonymous. It's crazy out there.
Right.
Well, you're seeing how many crazy people there are.
Yeah.
And usually it starts with all caps.
Well, check the,
anybody
check the
in
Yahoo
all caps.
Comment section and you'll see it's...
And their avatar is usually an egg because they haven't taken the time.
Oh, yeah. There's no picture ever involved.
No picture.
Right. Yeah. Jim was trying to point out to you if you read Yahoo stories.
It's all written by Yahoos.
The comment section, all Yahoos.
Really, all the comments.
Jobs.
Yeah. Do they all eventually go into Christ? That's what I noticed. No matter what the initial topic was. Nike drivers aren't really good. And then you keep reading, Jesus would never have used a Nike driver, and he doesn't play at the Masters. What?
What?
Huh?
Why did this go to Jesus?
What?
Jesus is involved?
Yeah, if there's anything the president's even mentioned in a story, right, Jim, all the comments consist mostly of, Barg, Kenyon, Garg.
Nazi, communist, liberal, atheist, bad Christian, Muslim.
Okay, and then you wrote up this
barbecue.
One. Speaking of crazies, this Whitney Houston story, it's really sad. FBI files claim someone bribed Whitney Houston for hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to keep quiet about her private life. The FBI released 128 pages of documents on Whitney Houston, including several fan letters and FBI paperwork pertaining to an extortion case that was closed without anyone being prosecuted. Whitney allegedly paid the person off to keep quiet. The author, a woman who Whitney considered a friend, demanded that unless the singer pay her $100,000, she would reveal certain details of her private life. A follow-up letter raised the amount to $250,000. The friend claimed to have intimate details of Whitney's romantic relationships. In an interview with the FBI, Whitney admitted she did discuss personal things with this person.
Wow.
Whitney clearly watched enough television. You can't get involved in the initial offer. Haven't you seen these shows? Once you start negotiating, it's not going to end well.
She should have stumbled upon ID, the ID channel.
You promise this will never come out even after I'm dead, right? Oh. Right?
I liked it back then. If you had people, doing weird things, you could just call the FBI, and go, hey, now... look at how much you've probably gotten 100 hate mails since I've been here this morning.
Right.
Who are you going to call? The king of Twitter? He doesn't exist.
Right.
The king of Facebook.
Twitter doesn't give a crap.
Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg care?
No,
yeah.
Can I get Mark? Somebody said something mean about him. Someone defriended me again.
Can I please speak to Mr. Zuckerberg? This is an emergency. I've been defriended by 8 people on my fan page, and I don't understand this. It's ridiculous.
Wow, this is how you know you might be in trouble. Lindsay Lohan is rejecting Charlie Sheen as a mentor.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how you know.
That offer was on the table?
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. It's very serious.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Lohan knows her life is out of control, but does not think Sheen's the man for the job.
If he did write the check to help her pay the taxes, maybe you should look into that a little bit more.
Yeah,
I would say.
Right.
Nobody else is stepping up.
Lohan's lawyer said Lindsay does not have a problem with alcohol or drugs. She is totally sober.
Sure. Right. And that's why now she's going to be, she's going to, mentor people or something?
Right.
Or be a motivational speaker?
That's going to be her service?
First of all, drink lots of vodka. Then... I can't help you answer that.
Vodka makes her angry, is what I'm told. Okay, David Copperfield, no magic. Plane makes emergency landing.
Oh.
No trick. Private jet carrying David Copperfield was forced to make an emergency landing after the plane started making strange noises.
So he couldn't just suspend the plane in midair?
No, he brought in Denzel Washington to land it.
Ah.
Even though he was smashed, sure. He did a spectacular job. And that's what you do.
You can react quicker if you're doing cocaine.
Were there snakes on the plane? Could that be the cause?
No. They had all been asked to leave. Okay. CD in Missouri, you're on with Kathleen Madigan. Hello, CD. Missouri.
Good morning, gorgeous. I've been watching you for a long time.
Thank you.
Good morning to the Mooks and Kathleen. Hang in there on the cigarettes. And I wish I could quit, but I like them too much.
Yeah, I loved them too, believe me. I'll never be that lady. You can come over to my house and smoke, and I'll watch you and wish I was you.
Yeah. Just stare awkwardly at you.
I like ashtrays, fire, lighters. I was all in.
You stare at the pack of cigarettes and say, I wish I could quit, Chief.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead, CD.
I want to state that the stock market's up there over what it's been in, I'd say, 5+ years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm an investor, and corporate America doesn't give a shit about
Wow.
Okay, did you get that current?
Not see that S-bomb coming there.
No.
Looky there. We're back in the nightclub.
Probably
okay.
Should not drink before you call.
No.
We got a lot of that this morning.
Wow, what's going on?
Everyone else?
Well, it is 11. It is 11:30 on the East Coast.
In Missouri, where you're from.
That's only Central
it's
time
Missouri,
zone.
And he sounded a little rural. you don't know what can happen in rural America, especially in
the
Missouri.
Ozarks. The Ozarks,
The Ozarks.
He sounded a little rural. Kathleen Madigan.
A rural countryman.
Donald in Illinois. Donald, are you calling from a rural area, Donald?
Why do I have a bleep button?
No, I don't know. Maybe it is a little rural. But the thing is I was happened to notice what your comment was about Meet the Press.
Yes.
And I always felt the same way. It's like they never really asked the hard questions. They just set up talking points. And when he mentioned something about, he was asking Boehner the question about what Obama has done. And he mentioned that Obama hasn't done anything. And then the guy in white hair, don't remember his name, he says, well, Obama did bring something forward, blah, blah.
Right.
That Obama didn't really do anything. And instead of going further with that, because he just set it up for Boehner to say, well, that's not true, and he should attack Boehner right there and then and told him, because there is facts that 59% of the Democrats were all in favor of this you know, this policy that they brought up, and they, these people, they either go on filibusters or they go on vacation, and nothing ever gets done.
Yeah.
And what really kills me about this whole thing, and I hate to say this, the Republicans will always get away with this because they don't have a media that holds them accountable for anything. Right. And in 2014, we will lose the House. That, I don't think we're going to get it. We got this, the cards are stacked up against this president, against the Democrats.
Yeah, but don't say that. We can't say that at this point. I mean, I understand about gerrymandering and all that, but you can't give up before we've begun to fight about the House. I mean, I just think that, you know, look at how much lower can their approval rating get, congressional Republicans?
No, it's the bottom. The bottom.
Yeah.
So it'll just be new people of the same ilk.
New people we hate equally as much.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to hope for. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back. With the remaining moments, Kathleen Madigan live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Really? If I can ring your bell. All right. Does that have to buy you dinner first or anything?
Nah. 49 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days for this special offer. GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. We were just looking out at our gray sky here in Los Angeles, and you said it's supposed to rain, and Kathleen Madigan, in her usual sunny way, went, "That'll be great for driving in rush hour traffic to Anaheim on Friday." You're such a sunny little personality.
I'm leaving now. I'm getting ahead of everyone. See ya, suckers.
Where did I have to go last week? I'm like, I have to go to Culver City. You're like, oh, well, that's going to take like 14 hours.
In there's no fast way to get
from
to
here
Culver City
to Culver City. Yeah. There is no good way.
No way to go. Mm-mm. Nope. No, if you know when you ask someone how long is it going to take to get somewhere, and they both laughed at me.
Yeah,
it's bad. You know, like bad. They're like, ha, 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 you got to go where? What time?
Yeah, because I've had to do that before. It doesn't end well.
No,
if there's
no
construction on Sepulveda or Andor on the 405. Yeah, I had a gig in Santa Monica. It took me 2 hours to get there. Yeah. I might as well have been coming from Santa Barbara.
And boy, our listeners in Chicago really care.
They really.
Well, we're down there, our lower whacker. Be sure to look over your right shoulder.
We gave the best Chicago driving tip ever, though, and that is do not take the Paul Ryan Expressway because it's not finished because he doesn't believe it is faster.
Yeah.
That's why the road's not done.
See, it's the Dan Ryan, not the
Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
So we got that wrong.
The Paul Ryan Expressway is like segments go
but
nowhere.
People will brave traffic to come see me April 13th at Chicago Theater for Sexy Liberal, and they will brave traffic to see Kathleen Madigan. She will be in
Friday night at the Grove in Anaheim.
Right. And then Saturday night
in the less traffic destination, Thousand Oaks.
But you still have to go on the 101.
There you go. All right.
Well, maybe I'll just go straight from Anaheim today.
Thousand Oaks.
After the show. I won't even wait till morning.
People that love Kathleen Madigan Kathleen Madigan, like my boy Toy Jeff.
Oh, yes. He said that he would, he says he kind of wants to chain you up in his apartment so he can always come home to you.
That's lovely, in a weird kind of serial killer, but I give him credit for having the energy. Where do you get a chain? Right. You got to figure it out.
Right.
He has gumption.
Didn't Boy George chain someone to his...
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Wall.
Next to a pile of
you're
going
to listen to Karma Karma Camellia again.
Oh, right.
No.
And if not, I'm chaining you to this bed till you tell me you
do
like
you
it.
Do you really want to
I understand
hurt
people
me
have tough
well,
days.
You mention it.
They
want
to laugh. You want Kathleen Madigan chained to one of your walls.
Yeah. I don't smoke anymore.
You're like, hey, funny
I don't
pants.
Need my hands.
Funny pants, elf shoes, tell some jokes.
I don't think
he's factoring in that you might not be in the best mood to tell jokes having been chained to his wall all
I don't
day.
Think Lewis Black would stand for being chained to a wall.
No. You did it! What are you doing?
We were discussing one of our favorite Stephanie Miller Show highlights. Oh, Kathleen brought him in just like a show and tell.
Yeah.
She's like, I brought something with me. We're like, oh, my God, it's Lewis
Black.
And then a right-winger decided to take that day to call in, and Lewis Black...
Yeah.
Are you
decimated
a moron?
Him.
What? Yeah. What? I was like, why would you call a show when Lewis Black is there? Really?
I was glad you guys let that caller through because it only took an hour to calm down in the car. Why did they do that? Why did they let those people call? Isn't there some kid who says no and hangs up on them before it gets through? I'm like, no, that's kind of part of the show. Oh, my God. Can we get some coffee? No, you can't. Nope, you can't. I can't. I can't, because I'm not having a stroke right now. You can't.
We're responsible for Lewis Black's mini stroke the entire rest of that month. Okay, let's go to Rick in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Kathleen. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Kathleen. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, yeah, I just wanted to comment on some of the one of the comments that I heard Boehner say.
Yes.
I think it was a couple of days ago when he got out of a meeting with Obama. He made it very clear to the American people that, you know, well, let's make it clear that Obama already got a tax cut in January. I guess somebody should let him know that that's just the Bush tax cut expiring.
Right.
You know, that's
yeah.
Nothing, that's
and not even and not even the whole. I mean, we didn't even get back to, you know, the whole with the rates where they were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, and that's the kind of thing that really just really upset me because, and I just wanted to touch base on what your other caller said about the sequester
mm-hmm.
and asking why Obama needed to sign it. That was an agreement between Democrats
yeah.
and Republicans
right.
to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Right.
So this is what I mean. It's like Republicans refuse to work together, and they mm-hmm. say, oh well, look what we've already done, and you've done absolutely nothing.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think
Lou should be Obama's spokesperson.
I think so, too.
He's nuts.
He cuts to the crap.
Yeah.
His press secretary, would be awesome.
Listen, moron!
Yeah.
Right.
He's a leader. Yeah. It just depends on how you want to define one. But he is definitely a leader.
It's hard not to pay attention.
It is.
Someone's screaming yeah. at you.
And there's confidence behind it.
Right.
There
leaders
is.
Have confidence.
And conviction.
Yep, conviction.
Yep.
Yep.
Kathleen Madigan, you have not been in the debate yet. Are you pro, We Saw Your Boobs song or anti? Jane Fonda did not appreciate the I Saw Your Boobs song.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence loved it. I loved it. I'm old and yet I'm immature.
See,
I thought it was generational.
That's what it is. I would say, I don't care about the part about Jane Fonda, but I would say, can we just raise the bar for the opening part? And then can we sink into immature? Could we start out somewhere just a little higher so we could
right.
go...
Yeah, that's sort of a mid-show thing. It shouldn't have been the start.
Yeah, there we go. Mid-show, it's cute. Fine,
right.
It's cute. But
right.
opening, I'm like, oh my. It's like, I just always think of Steve Martin, and I thought he did it the best
mm-hmm.
out of anyone.
Yeah.
Because he started, and then he got silly. Like,
right,
you know, then he goes into, okay, now it's mid-show, and I have an arrow back in my head.
Get
it. Okay, that's all. I get it.
Right.
But I thought, well, I don't know where we're going from here, but this
yeah.
could get weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. That's what I was saying. I didn't know if it was generational because, you know, a few older actresses said they were offended and,
In the case of Jane Fonda, she became a born-again Christian some time ago. So
I don't know if that's necessarily
no,
true.
No, she's pulled back from that.
She's pulled back
yeah.
from that? Okay.
Yeah, she belongs to a very liberal church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's interesting because Ashley Judd, I mean, there is a theme. Ashley Judd is being attacked now because she may run against Mitch McConnell for having done nude scenes. So I do get that there's a sexist element of this.
We saw her boobs.
Yeah, apparently we have seen her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
We
saw that it was good.
The Daily Caller. The headline is Theatrical Slut Shaming. Daily Caller attacks Ashley Judd for nude scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Sign of how anxious the right wing is about the possibility that Ashley Judd might run for Senate against Mitch McConnell.
Once had a nude scene. I was seen without my shell.
Launched the stupidest salvo against her of all, arguing that Judd, because she's done nude scenes for her work as an actress, has literally nothing left to show us. But will Judd be the first potential senator who has literally nothing left to show us? The actress has bared her breasts in several films and has had some raunchy sex scenes and other. So that disqualifies her from what? I mean, seriously, yeah, you're right. Seeing Mitch McConnell topless, now that right.
He probably has bigger boobs than she does.
Yeah. Not in a good way.
No.
You know.
Well, and I love that they're attacking people that haven't yet decided to run. Talk
right.
about getting out ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Save your money. What if she says no? You just wasted all that money.
Right.
Then again, that was what's his face's dealio. They said Rove's
yeah.
group.
Yeah, Karl Rove.
So
exactly.
Well, let's just attack potential people.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I'll just say I'll run for something. At least look at all that free press I'd get. Just an ad.
Yeah,
for Kathleen is terrible. That's fine.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
At least let's not picture Karl Rove topless because that now we're. Let's end with a portly individual wearing a Batman costume surprised authorities in northern England when he arrived unexpectedly at a local police station to drop off a man wanted for burglary.
What?
I love it.
there's some Batman with a costume that is catching crooks on his own and dropping them off at the police station.
And then he disappeared. He left.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Batman does, only slower because he's a little
portly.
Maybe that's the solution to body cuts, costumes. Costumes. Everybody wear a costume and do what that superhero did.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself.
The sequester, they might cut police jobs. Just go to a costume shop. Play Batman by yourself.
Love it.
Fancy wrinkle cream there may be. Fancy fat bastard cream there is none.
Kathleen Madigan, you are spectacular. Gone Madigan is the CD, and is there a website? DVD.
KathleenMadigan.com.
Yeah, I kept it simple. Just
Thank
my
you.
Name.
All right. Yeah. We love you. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.